This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN. This is GOAT Madness.
I am the greatest.
Jordan to the circle, puts the shot in the air. Good! The game's over, and the Bulls have won.
Who is the GOAT?
We know!
Oh! LeBron James with no regard for human life!
It's time for you to determine who's the greatest of all time, once and for all.
This one is headed for New Jersey. High into the upper deck. Barry Bonds with a spectacular three-run homer.
Because that's the bottom line. The Stone Cold sets up.
This is GOAT Madness.
I love the voice guy. He does a good job.
He does a fantastic job. Sensational production. And it is time to resume GOAT Madness, Larry.
Let's go.
And you know what I like so far? I was a little worried about this when we went into it, that the audience would simply think of the term GOAT, greatest of all time, as a sports term and only a sports term.
Yes.
So we've tried to bring in the entertainment, the singer, the actor, the comedian, whoever. And it's kind of balanced, I think. And this region here might be the most balanced so far. So let's get to it, Larry.
Yes.
We still have the number one seed in this region. The number one seed is...
You want money? How about my 40 grand? You're still out of the bird feeder. That should be plenty. You're such an investment genius.
Yes, of course. The great Tony Soprano, who in anything that we've done, any kind of bracket, contest, the Sopranos have always done very well.
But says a lot about our audience, Gordon.
Yes, it does. Theme songs. They love everything about the Sopranos, Larry.
Big influence on our audience.
But this, he might have met his match, Larry. Oh. Can I say that? This might be his toughest challenge yet.
Oh.
Yes, against the number nine seed. You know the music.
Wow.
Stone Cold Steve Austin, Larry.
Oh.
The number nine seed. Wow. All right. Wow. So that's your first matchup of the night. Four matchups. That's number one. This next one, the number five seed is...
Newton Santos. Olhou pra área, lançamento do Newton Santos pro Pelé, pro Pelé, pro Pelé!
The only thing I got from that was Pelé. I understood Pelé, Larry. Two years of Spanish, I know seven words, one of them is Pelé. He's the number five seed. He goes up against the number four, who is...
Purple Rain!
Oh.
Purple
Rain.
Maybe the most talented musician ever. Could play everything, could play it all well.
Yep. Wrote his own songs.
Wrote his own songs, performed his own songs. Actor.
Yeah.
Funny guy, good basketball player. He was an all-around entertainer.
Yep.
And that, of course, is Prince. Mm. But is Prince the GOAT? That is the question we're trying to get to the bottom of.
Wow.
Our third matchup of the night, old versus new. This is it. Number six seed, who is...
It's a fair start, and Bolt wastes no time. Seizes the lead immediately as they come to the top of the home straightaway. Here they come to the line, to the home straightaway, and Usain Bolt has the lead. Mullings is there second. Sean Crawford on the outside. But it's again, no contest. No contest. Lightning strikes twice as he crosses the finish line.
Oh, my gosh.
And he's done it. 19.20, another world record for Usain Bolt.
Good luck trying to make Usain Bolt races seem like there's drama in them, right? The guy's running away from the field.
Gone.
He's like laughing as he's running. The other people are trying their hardest. He's la la la. Okay, so Usain Bolt, the number six seed, he goes up against the number three, who is?
Well, I looked down at center field and I pointed. I said, I'm going to hit the next pitch ball right past the flag. Well, good Lord, must have been with me.
He's certainly not the GOAT of audio quality, I can tell you that. No, that's Babe Ruth, Larry. The house that Ruth built, well, there he is. George Herman Ruth. Babe Ruth, the number three seed. And then finally, our last matchup of the night, the number seven seed, who is... Oh, Ah, the great Jimi Hendrix.
Mm.
He'll take on the number two seed, who is...
Look away to Livingston. Jordan.
And, of course, that would be Michael Jordan.
MJ.
Yes. So voting for GOAT Madness is now open.
At Gordon Damer, at Hardesty ESPN, at ESPN NY 98_7. Vote early, vote often. It's an interesting region. Some interesting matchups.
I feel like any of the eight could come out of it.
I agree. I mean, where else would you find Pele against Prince?
Jimi Hendrix versus Michael Jordan, right? Where are you going to get that?
And Usain Bolt and Babe Ruth.
Right. Does Usain Bolt even know who Babe Ruth is? No, maybe not. I don't know.
Guess what? I know Babe Ruth doesn't know who Usain Bolt
is.
Yeah,
that for sure. We are confident in that. If nothing else, we are confident in that.
We know that's not happening.
No.
By the way, Gordon, the actor's name in Grey's Anatomy.
Okay.
Is
yes.
James Pickens Jr.
I believe is Grey's Anatomy still on?
It is. I think this is the final season, though.
Has that show been on for 25 years? That's been a very long run. Yeah,
they've had the Gunsmoke-like run, Gordon. They've been on for a long time.
I feel
we've
like there's been
a lot
like
of people age in that show.
Two or three times where I found out that show's still on, and I was shocked that it was still on. And then like 5 years later, I thought, still on? What? How is this possible?
On. Yeah, they're doing well. They're doing great. They are doing great. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. So that's who I'm hearing more of, Gordon, as I age ungracefully.
Okay, well, I wouldn't say that.
You know that.
Who knows what Ernie Hudson's doing? That cannot be.
I'm not aging like Ernie.
No.
Ernie's got a little age. He's got a little distance on me. A little distance. I mean, you know.
You're only like, what, 75? What is it?
No, not quite. but I can see it. It's right down the street.
Right. It's coming up fast.
It's
you know, it's funny.
The
when you get to a certain age, the days take long. The years, they fly by.
They do. They really do. They just woof.
Yep.
And they're gone.
This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN.
There were a number of things as a Met fan you would be concerned about starting the season. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you don't have Kodai Senga to start, who's your ace this year,
right,
because of injury.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, you find out that Tylor Megill is going on the IL because he's mm-hmm. got an injury.
Right.
And so you're concerned about your pitching, all right? And that's been an issue, and you're concerned about the bullpen. I mean, obviously, you know that, you know, when the trumpets are blown, everything mm-hmm. is good. So
right.
you're good there. But you're trying to find out how we're going to build to the bullpen and whatnot. And really, for the first four games of the season for the Mets, the pitching has really been a minor issue. It's really been the lack of hitting on this squad that's been a concern. And so after the game tonight, everybody was gathered around Francisco Lindor, who has really gotten off to a slow start, Gordon.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And he was asked, how do you keep this from snowballing? It's only four games, but how do you keep this from going into one of those long losing streaks like the month they had last year?
We just got to keep the vibes in a very good place. And like I said, it's everybody's pulling in the same direction. Everybody's working towards the same goal. Today, it felt completely different. Hitters meeting was good, and just the preparation was really good. And in the game, we were talking, you know, just bouncing ideas, bouncing approach. And we put good swings on the baseball today. It just, they didn't fall through. And it, like I said, it just hasn't come down to execution. So how do I gather the troops? Just do exactly what we did today. Just keep their vibes up. Keep the energy prepared. Continue to educate yourself and be ready to play the nine innings.
Now, Gordon, I understand what he's saying in theory, right? But the bottom line is, what happened on the field? And what happened on the field was they got shut out.
Mm-hmm.
So while in theory, okay, it should, we're on the right track. We're four games into the season, Gordon. How is it? Why is it different today than it was against Milwaukee? Shouldn't it have been good against Milwaukee? We're starting a season, Gordon. I don't understand.
Yeah, and it's weird that you come out to start the season and it seems like the offense is completely lifeless. Right? You'd think that you'd have some energy to start the year and okay, it's only four games, right? Sure, but it would be one thing if you were saying, well, the offense is lifeless because of guys that you're not really relying on. There's two guys right at the top of the order that you are relying on, and they've done a whole lot of nothing, including Francisco Lindor, who I believe is their highest paid offensive player. So, again, you don't want to panic. The problem is that this is kind of what you thought you were getting going in.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't think Met fans had high expectations for the season. And to see how, not just the four games, but the fact that you get clowned by the Rhys Hoskins.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have that whole scene and wasting opportunities and not seizing on them, even on the comeback on, what was that, on Saturday? Coming up short.
Yeah.
At least that game, you finally had something. I am confident, though, the Mets are going to hit at some point. The problem is when they hit, I'm guessing that the pitching probably is going to take a step back. I don't think the pitching is going to be like this the whole year.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, listen, maybe they'll be streaky, and you might find, because that's what happens when you have average teams, Gordon. You know, the hitting is good and the pitching's bad. The pitching's good and the hitting's bad. And then for maybe a couple of week period, they all mesh and it works out. Carlos Mendoza, what's going on with this offense?
Chasing a lot, expanding, you know, especially early in counts, and then chasing out of the strike zone. You know, a lot of empty at bats, not creating much of a traffic there. You know, so gotta get better.
Nimmo. 063, Lindor, 063, Alonso, 267. Gordon, we were joking about Marte. He's rolling.
Yeah, 2-for-4 tonight. Yeah, absolutely.
357, he's rolling. Mm-hmm. Alvarez is rolling. Beatty's 250, but Gordon, he had a hit tonight and made some good plays in the infield. You know, so.
Had that big pinch hit home run the other day.
Absolutely. So, you know, I mean, Bader's hitting 200. That's what I expect from Bader. I expect.
Right.
You know, really good defense, not a lot of offense. So he's giving me what I expect. You know, the thing here is Lindor's got to get going, Gordon. And you know what? It's really sad, but we seem to be saying this ever since he's been here. And he's had pretty good seasons.
Yeah.
He hasn't had the great season that we've expected. Right? But he's had pretty good seasons, but we always seem to be saying at some point in time, and we all know that everybody goes through slumps in their season, and they have everybody goes through them. But Gordon, it just seems like we always are looking at him, and it's like, when's he going to start? When is he going to give us like a really knockdown MVP type season? When is that going to happen?
Yeah, it feels like he has had good years. Like last year was a very good year, but it doesn't. You know, the way you become a winning team is by getting value out of what you're paying for, right? Like getting more value than what you're paying for. And you're paying him a lot of money. And he's lived up to it for the most part, but he's not exceeded the expectations, I don't think.
Right, right.
And I think that when he came here and he got the contract that he did, I think that there was a hope of he was going to now take that next step.
Right.
And I don't think that he's taken that next step.
He has not.
And that next step here is kind of like leading the team. So, again, the pitching's been good. The bullpen has been really good.
Yeah, it has.
They just haven't had that many opportunities so far. So I expect that will happen, that Nimmo will get going and getting on base, and Lindor will start to hit, and Alonso will hit some home runs and all that type of stuff. But
yeah,
not the way you want to start the season.
It is not. It is not. And you know, they've had some good defensive plays. I mean, Brandon Nimmo threw a guy out at the plate. Otherwise, the game would have ended earlier.
Yeah.
You know, so they've done it, you know. But there was one play that even though, and this, it turns out, they would have lost anyway because that one run scored. But the Wendell error in the 10th inning allowed more runs to score that led to the three-run home run.
Gates. Yep.
It did. And here's what Wendell had to say after the game.
We're in half, like halfway depth there. Hard hit ball. I think something we think we can turn two on, you're going to turn two. If not, you know, you think, you know, then go home. I didn't feel like the ball hit to my left. I was going to be able to spin, throw that guy out at home. Tried to turn a ball that wasn't a two ball into a two ball. Didn't secure it. Tried to do it a little too fast. Took an aggressive line to it. And obviously I booted it. Yeah, I mean, I've got to get at least one out there, obviously. There's no excuse for that. And it cost us in a big way.
And that's what Mendoza's talking about, Gordon. Trying to do too much, reaching, stretching the zone, you know, issues. And Gordon, you know, I get it, but it's so early. Just make the play. Just go out and play. You know, it's. I get it. You want to win. I understand it. But it's four games. Just go out and play. Just play. Make the routine play. Stop trying to do too much.
Yeah, and he's a veteran too, right? You think that he would, of anybody, he would know that, right? And he's kind of brought in here to do that. But you can never look as foolish as making bold plot proclamations after the first week of the baseball season. So
yes.
I think that really why the doom and gloom is because you saw the weather forecast, right? And and this is lining up perfectly with what the weather forecast was. And in literal sense, the weather forecast the next couple of days is really bad. So hopefully the Mets will get a couple of days off.
Maybe.
Kind of catch their breath here and get back at it.
Well, hopefully, and it also gives us time for J.D. Martinez to get ready and come up here and get into this DH role. And Carlos Mendoza has an update on J.D.
He's still in Port St. Lucie. He's getting a ton of at-bats. I think he got like six or eight the other day, and every day he's getting at-bats. In the next couple of days, we will revisit with him and see what's the next step, whether he's staying in Port St. Lucie and continue to get at-bats under a more under-control environment, or we put him on one of our affiliates, whether it's Syracuse or anywhere else. But, you know, we're still probably 2 or 3 days away before we can revisit again and see what the next step is.
Is there any thought of not doing affiliate and when he's ready, just getting him up here?
I mean, everything's on the table right now. Again, we'll wait the next 2 or 3 days while he's in Port St. Lucie, and we'll revisit again and come up with something.
He's needed, Gordon. I'm just trying to tell you right now. He's needed.
And you know, when the Mets signed him, there was a lot of, well, the Mets did the smart thing. They got him at the right price. They held out and waited. Yeah, but that waiting also cost you time in spring training, where if you would have signed him for an extra couple of million dollars more, he would have been ready to go and been in your lineup right now and maybe, I don't know, maybe made a difference tonight, right? Like, you know, Detroit didn't score until the 10th inning. Is it really that crazy to think that if J.D. Martinez had been up here, he might have came through with a big hit in a big spot? I don't think so. So all these things about, it's almost like the Yankees approach sometimes. Well, we're not going to make moves in the offseason. We'll wait to see how things play out, and then we'll make a trade during the season. Yeah, but there's time lost to that.
Yeah. No question about it. And, you know, here's clearly Gordon in the game with Milwaukee where they were up and they lose 7-6. You mean to tell me he doesn't get a hit in that game? Maybe you win that game.
Yep. I mean, all these games pretty much have been close. You just haven't been able to get the big hit.
Yeah.
And that's what you were bringing him in for. And at a time where you don't have enough guys producing – it's like the Knicks, right? You want that one extra guy that might be able to hit a shot in a big spot. You wish you had J.D. Martinez in that lineup, and who knows? Maybe he hits one out, comes through with a hit with runners on or something, and all of a sudden things click.
Yeah, it would have been nice. Would have been nice. So we'll see what happens, whether they get a chance to play tomorrow. I don't know, Gordon. We'll see. For me, I'm hoping they don't.
This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon, I peeked in. The voting is interesting on GOAT Madness. Very
is it? I have not taken a look as of yet. I took a little peek. For our audience, for the audience that listens on the podcast or wherever, we appreciate each and every one of you that vote, and especially anyone, even if you have a small following, any retweets that anybody does of GOAT Madness to get more votes out there, I salute you. Let me just put it there, because any little bit of support that we get, we appreciate fully.
Absolutely.
So each and every one of you that votes or retweets it or likes it, thank you so much. I can't thank you enough.
You're doing a great job.
You they really are. Yes, absolutely. You haven't screwed it up as of yet, I don't think. Some people might say you've gotten some things wrong, but not me. Not me. I think you all have done a marvelous job.
But I will say this, Gordon. I kind of told you the way that we had set this up, this was going to be probably second only to TV theme songs.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. Well, I will say this. I've had a couple of tweets of how are we supposed to decide between these two. This is only going to get harder.
It is.
It's only going to get more and more difficult. So don't blame us.
No.
It's in your hands.
That's right. You're in charge.
And most importantly, don't mess it up. That's all we're telling you. Don't screw this up now, people.
And they've done a great job so far.
They've done a fantastic job so far.
They're rolling right now. Rolling right now. Like the Yankees, Gordon, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
You've been watching baseball for a couple of years.
A couple, yeah.
Does Rizzo know everybody? Everybody that stops at first base has got a long conversation. Yeah, does he know everybody in baseball?
He's been around a long time now, right? He's like, he's an old head now. So he has been around a while. And he's played in both leagues. So, and now with Interleague, he knows everybody, of course.
He's always got a conversation going.
Mm-hmm. The game is secondary to him.
Oh, like, yucking up on that. What is going on? We got
Seems like a game going on, Riz. Yeah.
Jeez.
Seems like he's having fun.
He's having a great time?
Especially after last year, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Just to be playing for him.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be just to be out there, to be happy, mm-hmm. to not have pain and wondering what's going on with your career. What's going on with me?
Yeah.
Like, not your head, baseball.
Right? It's one thing if it's your back or your knee or your elbow, your brain.
Yeah.
It's like, kind of scary.
You know, like and you know you're not right.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, this is not who I am. Like, and here's the other thing, Gordon. What they're telling me is not what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah, because that took a long time to finally get a diagnosis on that.
It really did. It really, really did. Your impressions, and I'll give you mine in a second, your mm-hmm. impressions of the Yankees starting pitching so far.
Well, I mean, they've done enough, right? Like, each of the games in Houston, it felt like games were teetering at times. Mm-hmm. But I will say this, it feels like this year, maybe every year they kind of use the first month or so to kind of figure out the bullpen pieces.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It feels like maybe this year they have they have guys in line for roles in mind a little quicker, maybe. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it feels like it's a little bit more settled out there. So, it's all going to depend on injuries. But the one thing I think we can all kind of agree on with the Yankees is they do a very good job of finding guys, developing guys that play prominent roles. Like, mm-hmm. even guys that you've seen in other teams, other places.
Right.
They come here. Clay Holmes, perfect example, right?
Mm.
And I think was it the game yesterday? The guy Ferguson comes in, or the guy Nick Birdie comes in, and get big outs for you. So mm-hmm. that's if they're going to survive the loss of Gerrit Cole for however long he's going to be out, and in that rotation, I think it's going to rely. They're going to be relying on the bullpen quite heavily as they do every year. So mm-hmm. I think that's been a major part of this so far.
Your thoughts on Rodon's outing?
I think you have to see him when he has a little bit more velocity.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think his velocity was great. I'm very, very skeptical that he is going to be, that he's going to be the guy that you're paying for.
Yeah.
Between just performance and injury. I mean, mm-hmm. this is a guy who is constantly hurt. Is constantly an issue. I mean, mm-hmm. the guy that I've been most impressed with was Stroman in his one outing.
I was going to ask you about him. Over 100 pitches.
Yeah. I like the attitude that he brings. So it's a long season. I've got a little too much scar tissue from Carlos Rodon last year.
Yep.
I'm going to need to see a little bit more before I'm ready to say, hey, He might be the guy. You need somebody to kind of step up, and it doesn't mm-hmm. have to be the same guy all the time, but I think mm-hmm. you need somebody to kind of step up and provide you that guy that every fifth day you know there's not going to be a long losing streak. That's generally what Gerrit Cole's role is, and until he gets back, you need somebody to kind of fill that role.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to be the same guy from now until then, but you need somebody to step up and do that.
You definitely do. You definitely do. And, you know, listen, I know it's early. I know that last season, I think you guys swept Houston again near the end of the season or something like that, near the end of the regular season. But to be able to go in and handle them so easily, where offensively they had no answers for you, it's kind of a statement. You know, I was listening to Passan on the K-Show today, and he was saying that, you know, listen, it's early, but it kind of changed his opinion about what this Yankee team could be because of how they look offensively. Obviously, you still got questions about pitching. Obviously, you still got a bunch of questions. You do. And you, injuries and all this other stuff. But the offense, the way it was against Houston, whose pitching is still pretty good. Right? They're not, they don't have the same team they had in the championship years. But their pitching is pretty good. For you to go in there and, you know, continue to do well against them, that's a statement. That's kind of a statement, Gordon.
And for Soto to get off to the start that he did, not just at the plate, we talked about it earlier, the amount of pitches that guy sees in at bat, it just kind of gets back to that old Yankee way of grinding out at bats and making pitchers work and getting into the bullpen and all that kind of stuff. So, and then, you know, for him, his defense, which I think in terms of outs above average, he was like the seventh worst outfielder last year. You would never know that by watching him in those four games. Made an impact, obviously, with the big throw to throw out the runner at the plate. And just seemed to have, you know, with defense in baseball, a lot of times I feel like a lot of it is just how much you want to play it. And maybe when he had his struggles in San Diego, that kind of, he kind of took that out to the field with him. And he knows that his contract, whenever he gets his contract, it's going to be, when you're Juan Soto, people are looking to you for offense.
Yeah, no question.
And maybe that kind of filtered into his defense as well, because there's nothing that you saw. It's clear he has the capability of playing defense. And if he can play anything close to that in the outfield, there's no question that this guy is one of the best players in baseball, not just one of the best hitters in baseball. If he can just be league average in terms of defense, he really doesn't have any flaws. And I think that's another big thing from last year. They had such issues on defense in so many spots, especially left field. Verdugo was really, really good, and his reputation was not always the best there. So the early additions look pretty good, man.
Just made the sliding catch right now. Right on cue. A couple of minutes ago.
When you see the stats and you read the stuff of all the analytics of his defense, you would think he was an absolute butcher.
Yeah, you would.
There's been nothing that has shown you so far that he is that kind of player.
I will say this, Gordon. It's early, but he looks very happy to be in the Yankee uniform.
Yes, he does. Yep.
He looks very happy, very comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like he wants to show that he can. He wants to win. And you could see it, Gordon. He wants. Yes, it's the early success, but he's putting in the work. And so even though you, but once again, he's a guy. He's got a ring. He won in Washington. I don't think big city stuff's going to bother him, Gordon. Now, we'll see what happens if he, you know, look, there might be some adversity. He might go on the long drought of not hitting.
Sure.
Might go in the slump. And we'll see how he responds and deals with that. But, you know, when you're talented like that and you have confidence, I don't think playing here is going to bother him. I really don't.
I don't think so. He's been on big stages. He's been in the World Series. He's been doing this for a while now. We all heard his name even really before he came up to the majors because he was this superstar prodigy, 19-year-old and everything else. So I don't think that stuff will impact him. And maybe this year they're just a little – and I'll say this as well. The first sign that I thought, oh, boy, here we go again, when he had that ankle thing where it was at the Friday night game, all of a sudden he goes out to the outfield. You're thinking to yourself, this guy, the guy who plays every single day, it took him two games, and now he's hurt as a Yankee?
Yeah.
Or when Glaber gets hit with the pitch on Friday night, you think, oh, well, he's going to the IL. Is it just possible – I hate to say it out loud because I might jinx it – is it just possible injuries won't be the just – killjoy that it's been the last few years, and maybe they might have a healthy season overall.
Shh.
Joe doesn't like me saying it out loud.
No. In the words of Al Trautwick, don't shoot the clown. Don't say anything. Don't just let it play out. Let it play out. Yeah. Let it play out. Like UConn did. They win, Gordon. The UConn ladies made it to the Final Four. They beat number one ranked USC 80-73. Paige Beckers, 28 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. Juju Watkins, 29 points, 10 rebounds. So UConn women in the Final Four, UConn men in the Final Four. Big Stores is a pretty popular place right now, Gordon.
They're going to have to schedule these parades here.
Absolutely. When we return, Gordon's got some football he wants to chat about. We'll do that next on 98.7 ESPN.
This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN.
Hardesty and Damer until midnight on 98.7 ESPN. Gordon, I think this is a pretty good move for the Jets.
Well, it certainly is a good pivot. I like it better than some of the other ones that have been mentioned, and clearly he takes the place of Bryce Huff, who goes to the Eagles. It's almost like a trade in some ways, right? He goes there, he comes here. We shall see. Certainly, Reddick has had some very productive seasons, had two very productive seasons with Philadelphia. It took him a little while to get going in his career. The fifth-year option was not picked up by Arizona, even after he had a big fourth season for them. They didn't believe it. He goes to Carolina for a year, then Philadelphia for a couple of years. So this is a guy who gets after the quarterback, so Jet fans should love it. The only concern that I would have... You know, there's certain teams that they know more than you know. And there's certain teams that when they call and the deal seems too good to be true, it generally is. Now, this is not a trade per se, but the Eagles made up their minds that they were moving on from Reddick to go get Bryce Huff. And when they made that move, they knew that they didn't know that necessarily they trade him to the Jets, but they knew that he wasn't going to be back there.
Right.
That would concern me a little bit that the Eagles, who know more about Hassan Reddick, decided to go get Bryce Huff and give him that big contract rather than bring back Hassan Reddick.
Yeah, I hear you, but it's probably money. Clearly, he's going to make more money than what Huff is going to make.
Yeah,
and for the Jets, it's McDonald is Will McDonald the fourth insurance. You know, it's like okay. He showed some signs last year. We didn't get him. He didn't get on the field as much as we wanted him to. So you kind of buy another year. And, you know, if he's able to give you something and Will McDonald's able to give you something and they split the pass rushing duties, then it's kind of a win for you.
Well, Reddick this year has a year left in his contract, has a cap number of 21.8. His average annual salary is $15 million. Which is 18th among edge rushers in the NFL behind Huff. So Huff gets slightly more. He gets $2 million more a year. He's making $17 million a year. Reddick's making $15 million. And that would just concern me a little bit. I look at the Eagles and their guy, Howie Roseman, as being really sharp, really ahead of the curve.
Right.
So the fact that they would rather have, clearly, Bryce Huff than Hassan Reddick, that doesn't mean that Reddick's a terrible player or that he's washed up or anything like that. It would just kind of concern me a little bit. But I'm sure that adding another piece on defense, you can never have enough pass rushers, so the Jets have another pass rusher.
Yep, they do. They do. Now, you had some things you wanted to talk about football-wise.
It's one of my favorite days or times of the year, Larry.
Is it draft time? It's getting near the draft,
it's almost draft time. I love draft time, too, but anything that involves gambling, Larry. You know me. I love to have something involved in gambling. Jets and Giants, all the teams, over-unders are out for the year.
Are they?
Including the Jets and the Giants. What do you think the over-under for the Giants? Let's start with the Giants. What do you think the Giants' over-under is this year?
Daniel Jones quarterback, right?
So far as we know right now. We can only go by the information we have. They're over, very good, 6.5.
Close, okay.
Now, if we were playing Card Sharks, remember the old Card Sharks, higher, lower.
Yeah, absolutely.
Would you go over 6.5 or would you go under 6.5?
For the Giants?
Yeah.
I would go over 6.5. I would
over
say 7.
Over 6.5?
Yeah, I'd say 7.
Okay.
I would go over 6.5.
Okay. Then you have your New York Jets.
Dun, 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 dun.
What do you think the Jets over-under is for the upcoming season?
I'm going to say, Joe Leo, that I think it's the over-under is 9.
Close, 9.5.
Okay.
9.5. Now, would you go higher or lower? It's right on the line.
Joe, for you, I'm going to say higher. I'm going to say they win 10 games this year for you, Joe Leo. 10 games.
Now, I do not have a full accounting. I'm still working the process, still crunching the numbers. But the algorithm likes the Jets over.
The algorithm, we won lots
of simulations on the algorithm before we have an official. This is not just some fly-by-night operation.
Absolutely not. We're pros here.
Yeah, we're pros. So the early signs are good that the Jets will be an over for the 2024-2025 season. Does that sound weird, 2024-2025?
It really does. It really does. It does. It's crazy. It's crazy.
What did the algorithm say last year, Gordon, for the Jets, just by chance?
Right. Well, the algorithm was expecting that Aaron Rodgers was going to be healthy. The algorithm can't predict injuries, Joe. Don't be ridiculous.
As is this betting line here, they expect that Rodgers is going to be healthy.
Joe, there's no way Aaron Rodgers gets hurt 2 years in a row.
Can we set the over-under for 10.5 plays for Rodgers this year? Before we jump into how many wins they're going to have or how many games that Tyrone Smith will play this year?
I go on Twitter. I see all these Jet fans throwing Joe Douglas is cooking. Joe Douglas is the man. So here's the thing. We talk all the time. We don't have enough time tonight. We talk all the time about if the Jets lose and they don't make the playoffs, everybody's gone. Is the opposite true? If they do make the playoffs, does everybody get a contract extension?
Oh, no. Oh, my God. That's scary. Uh-oh.
They're back for a year, I would say. It's a year-by-year
basis.
No,
you're not
going
to get a contract extension for a year. You're going to have to go longer than that. That's going to be six for Joe, another four for the head coach.
It'd probably be 2 years for both of them.
Extend it out, Larry.
I don't know. I hear what you're saying. It would be hard to, you know, dump him after going into the postseason. You know, I think he only gets a year. I think you only give the head coach a year. That wraps up this edition of ESPN New York Tonight. Gordon, we'll see you tomorrow night.
Sounds good, Larry.
Joe, Julian, thank you very much. Conversation continues on 98.7 ESPN New York.